Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. High Velocity Radio is brought to you by PSI Digital Media Experts, the market leader in delivering digital media services. From manufacturing millions of CDs and DVDs to turnkey e-commerce solutions and streaming high-definition video over their worldwide content distribution network, PSI has the solutions to meet your needs. Find PSI at psidiscs.com, psidiscs.com. The High Velocity Radio Show is where we celebrate innovative professionals producing better results in less time. Produced and directed by Lee Cantor and brought to you live from Radio X Studio in Atlanta, Georgia. Now here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Stone Payton.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my co-host, Todd Schnick. What's happening, Todd?
Not much, Stone. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, but I know that that's a fib. There's a whole lot of stuff going on. You just snuck in here from a trade show with one of your clients.
Oh, gosh. Well, they're also a new sponsor of the Video Dust Jacket Tour, Fuego Mundo, and so I'm returning the favor and helping them out today, and they're at a health expo, so I was helping them set up, and then I'm on my way back there when we're done with the show.
Is that a real world, real word, Fuego Mundo? What does it mean?
It's Spanglish for a world of fire. Uh-huh. It's a wood fire grill, so it's a great place. But you ought to come by. It's at the Concourse Athletic Center, and we're giving out free food and coupons and stuff all day long.
We'll be right over.
Outstanding.
So get our listeners up to speed on the Video Dust Jacket Tour. Any new news there?
Any new news there? Boy, you ought to go to the website and check out the Video Dust Jacket page. You're beginning to see our tour dates. Concert shirts are coming soon. But we got a couple of dates set up. We're hitting the road on Orlando pretty soon. We're doing a bunch of interviews in Atlanta, and then we're hitting Cincinnati. And where are we going after that, Stone?
I don't have any idea. I know we're going to Philadelphia and San Jose because my IBM wife has consulting gigs in those cities. So I know we're going to those two cities
soon.
So we
can stay at the IBM hotels.
Absolutely. On IBM's nickel, of course.
Of course.
What else is going on? Oh, and we want to make sure everybody knows Radio X is a major sponsor of the tour, as is PSI Digital Media Experts. Anything new going on over there?
You know, I think they have this. They do digital media, obviously, in terms of online videos and CDs and DVD production. But they have these new thumb drive thingies, you know, where you put data on these little thumb drives and they can personalize them and all different kinds of sizes. And we're of course going to steal some of those from the organization, and we're going to give all of our guests on the show a recording of every past show. I'm sure they're dying to have that material.
That's helpful. Thumb drive thingies.
Thumb drive thingies.
Okay.
Yes. That is their technical term.
From PSI Digital Media Experts.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
We're looking forward. We're going to have a blast. I think we're going to hit the road. Isn't our first stop Orlando, and we'll be there October 21 and 22, I think.
That's correct.
Yeah, and those interviews are fun. They're going to be different than probably the interviews you're accustomed to seeing, because we really have developed a process that lets us pull the curtain back and get inside the mind of these authors and gain some genuine insight into things like what compelled them to write, what compelled them to write now. And we asked some questions that you're just not going to see in a traditional blurb about the book. So we'll keep you posted on all that. We'll chronicle our shenanigans from the road. But right now, here on the High Velocity Radio Show, we've got a marvelous show for you this morning. We're going to speak with Jamie Turner with 60 Second Marketer in just a moment. And then after that, we're going to have Donna Lang with Smart Tools Coaching. But first up on the High Velocity Radio Show this morning is Jamie Turner. He's Chief Content Officer for the 60 Second Marketer. Welcome to the show, Jamie.
Hey, man. Good to be here. Always glad to be here. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too, man. So tell us a little bit about 60 Second Marketer.
You know, what we did was we sat down and we said, so many marketing directors out there are downloading white papers on the latest tools, tips, trends in marketing. And a white paper traditionally is about, you know, 10 to 25 pages long. I don't know about you. I've downloaded plenty. I print them out. They sit on my desk, and I never get around to reading them. So about every 3 months, I was clearing off these white papers and not reading them. I said, how about if we condense a white paper down to a 60-second video and get the core essence of it there so that people can kind of find out what's going on, watch a 60-second video, understand the latest tools, tips, trends in marketing, and then get back to work. And so that's what we've done, and that's why it's called the 60-Second Marketer.
Well, I like it. And, you know, I'm one of the first ones that always says, I'll wait and see the movie. So, so you've decided to integrate video instead.
Yeah. What we did, we realized that so many people learn in multiple ways. They learn by reading. They learn by listening. They learn by watching. And really, they learn by doing. But we took the first three, which is reading, watching, and listening, and said, let's condense that into a 60-second video. Take the core idea of any current trend, whether it's social media, email marketing, anything you want, and say, what are the key things that we want to communicate here so that somebody can pop in, watch this video, and then get back to work and keep going on their day.
Well, I want you to say a little bit more about social media, and it may be a moot point now that you've hit the big time. You're on the High Velocity Radio Show. Maybe you don't need any other marketing vehicles, but I get the idea that you found a way to really leverage social media to get people to 60-second marketer. Can you say more about that?
Yeah. Well, let's define social media first of all. Social media is any channel that you can communicate and have a dialogue with prospects or customers. So online, it's anything from email marketing to blogs to Twitter to LinkedIn to Facebook, all those things. And it's using those almost in a kind of hub and spoke fashion. So if our spoke is the company that is whatever you want to kind of promote, and the hub is the company, and then the spokes are all the different things that you would use to give people an opportunity to talk to you. So what we did was we went out and said, okay, we're going to have the 60-second marketer, we're going to have the blog, we're going to have events, we're going to have all these different spokes. They actually drive to the parent company of 60-second marketer, which is BKV, which is an interactive and direct response agency. And so what ends up happening is our clients and our prospects go watch the 60-second marketer, and then they're introduced gradually to BKV through the 60-second marketer.
Oh, very nice. So 60-second marketer in a lot of ways is a marketing vehicle for you. It's a way to bring people in.
Absolutely. So if you think about that hub and spoke analogy, it's the hub is actually BKV, and the spokes are all the different things that the 60-second marketer uses to drive prospects to it. And as you know, because this is a lot of what you guys do too, is when you build trust with a client prospect and when you build kind of engagement with them and have a conversation with them over time, they're much more likely to feel comfortable buying your product once they've kind of exposed themselves to you and had that kind of engagement with you and all that sort of good stuff. So that's really essentially what we're trying to do.
You know, I want to go back to these white papers because I think it's brilliant what you're doing.
Excellent. Can you say that louder? Say it again.
I'm just brilliant. Like you in that I had a 6-inch stack of white papers on my desk that I would end up tossing, and then I felt bad about killing trees. But there still seem to be an awful lot of people out there that are pushing white papers. Do you think that trend is are they going to continue that, or is social media going to ultimately kill that, which is what I hope happens?
Yeah, I think what's ending up happening is people are realizing, like we did, hey, bottom line is people don't really actually read these things. While they're still relevant and they still create a sense of authority and trust for the ultimate person that you're giving it to, the real thing is to try to get people to use that content, because once people engage with you and use what it is that you're giving them, they're much more likely, as we mentioned before, to kind of feel good about working with you. And so one of the things that we try to stress is instead of doing a 25-page white paper, we're going to do this short, quick thing so that you can get in, get out, and get back to work. So hopefully that's one of the trends that's happening, and we've seen that happen for our entity.
And I think the video element of this is where it's at. I'm going to get the statistic wrong, so I hope someone out there will correct me, but I'll get it close enough to make the point that there's been more video uploaded to YouTube like in the past 2 weeks than has aired on ABC since like 1948.
Wow.
I mean, it's insane, you know. So, I mean, that's where it's going, you know. So kudos to you on putting that great content on a video.
Thanks a lot. I believe the word you used was brilliant.
Yes, it was brilliant.
Well, I was just about to say, I mean, this guy talks and thinks a lot like you do, Todd. I mean, everything he's saying, it feels like we've had similar conversations.
Well, he's brilliant.
And Todd is brilliant, too.
Yeah. Don, I don't even know if you and I need to be on this broadcast. But it all seems to make perfect sense for the small-time guys, you know, for small consulting firms, and Todd and I are advising several of those. But does it really translate for the big companies? Are there examples of large organizations using social media and capitalizing on some of these same strategies?
Yeah, definitely. In fact, what you're talking about is basically being an information station. So when you go to your clients, and be they small or large, if they can become an information station, then what they end up doing is, like we said, build that trust and awareness with their prospects. Large companies and small companies can do this. On the large side of the equation, Dell Computers is doing a great job using social social media. If you go to Dell, they'll have on their website a page that says join our community, and they give you a number of different ways to join their community, whether you want to talk to them on their blog, go to some of their forums, do their Twitter account, all that sort of stuff. And what they've done with Twitter is they've got a special Twitter handle that basically drives people to a landing page, which is a place where people can buy Dell computers. So let's say you're interested in buying computers. You go to Dell Outlets, twitter.com/Dell Outlets, and basically follow that account. And what will happen is Dell will send you an information that says, hey, if you're buying 10 or more computers, this would be for IT professionals traditionally, you can come in and get 20% off if you click on this link right now. Well, Dell, it took them 18 months to generate about $1 million in revenue using that. It only took them 6 months to generate the second $1 million in revenue. And the cost for doing that is pretty minimal. So it's a great example of a large corporation using social media to actually drive revenue.
You know, I take very few notes. I took very few notes in college. I take very few notes here, but I have already written down thumb drive thingy from Todd and information station from you. Well, you sort of began to get to the next question I wanted to ask you about, because it's the wet blanket that prospective clients try to hit me with all of the time. And candidly, I'm not nearly as articulate in responding about it as I think you're probably going to be. They want to know about the ROI. You know, what is the ROI on this social media stuff? Can you say more about that?
Well, first of all, thank you for saying that I would be articulate at all, because that's not actually the case. But the bottom line is, it's a great question. A lot of people say, hey, how do you measure social media? I have seen social media experts say, well, it's really hard to measure social media. That's not true. It's very easy to measure social media. In fact, there are 10 different ways that you can measure social media. Everything from the amount of traffic that you're driving to your website, to the amount of engagement, how long people are staying on the website, to your ROI. Dell is a great example. They go out and they tweet an offer. That offer, it has a link that drives through to a specific landing page where they can measure how many people click through to that landing page, and then they can measure how many people convert, how many people actually buy the product. And if their conversion is high enough, then they're starting to basically make money a lot of ways. So if you really want to know, there's a blog posting on the 60 Second Marketer blog called 10 Ways to Measure Social Media. Just go in there, type that into the search thing on the blog, and you'll find that article, and it says here's the 10 ways to do it.
But selling products and widgets makes sense in terms of how to measure the ROI. How do you measure services and consulting services?
Todd, that's a brilliant question.
I figured
that is absolutely brilliant. Actually, it is really a good question, because a lot of people say, well, I can't sell my product online. I can't measure that. So how do you do it? Well, what you have to do is set up a form where you capture that information. So this is where white papers do come back, or even MP3s of radio shows and things like that. You drive somebody to a website and it says download this free information, either a white paper or a book that they can get, or they get something free, some premium, and they have to fill out a form in order to do that. Now that you've captured that lead and you've got them engaged with you because you're this information station, you can now start remarketing to them and go back to them and start saying, hey, we're glad you downloaded the white paper or listened to the MP3 or read the post on our blog or got the free book that we're offering on the site. Now we'd like to start talking to you. And now that you've got them hooked, you can start reeling them in. The odds of you going from somebody filling out a form on a website straight over to, hi, I'm going to be spending $10,000 a month as your client, are pretty slim. But now you've gotten them hooked, and you just gently reel them in and continue to market to them because you've captured that information.
Well, and that guy at some point, probably sooner than later, will read the 20-page white paper, because now you've got someone who's genuinely interested in whatever the topic is.
Right, and even if they don't read the 20-page white paper, they're still sitting there with it on their desk, and it says, hey, this is from this consulting firm or whatever, and it's a constant reminder. Now, admittedly, like we said, a lot of times they throw it away after 3 months, but it sat there for 3 months, and if you consistently follow up with them during that three-month period, they're reminded, oh, yeah, I got to get back to those guys. They have something I do want to talk to them about. So that's the kind of angle of it. It's really gently reeling people in slowly but surely so that you can ultimately convert them to a paying customer.
Well, and you used a descriptor a little bit earlier on. You specifically used the word gently.
Uh-huh.
So I want to ask you about this and kind of dive into the art and science of bringing people into your circle, you know, into relationship with you. And it's coming from a little bit of a jaded perspective, mm-hmm. because I have had the experience where I've gone to someone's video or I've downloaded their white paper, and then I get absolutely hammered I get six emails in 4 days.
Yeah.
You know, it, I mean, do you have some counsel around?
I do.
Yeah, well,
I do. In fact, our post last week, one of the posts on the 6 Second Marketer blog was why is social media like sex? And so it was a real story, which is basically this. No, it really is.
And Donna woke up.
I know. So again, go to the blog, type in why is social media like sex, and you'll see this thing. And basically it's like this. It's like any relationship. If you walk into a bar and walk up to somebody and say, hey, you want to have sex? The answer is going to be no. But if you walk into a bar and say, hey, you know, where are you from? And you start a dialogue with them and gently just start talking to people. Ultimately, that dialogue builds trust, and there's a whole parallel going on here. What you want to do when you're in a bar or when you're in social media or when you're trying to reel in a consultant prospect is to go in and start asking them questions about them and that help them because they're interested in what's in it for them. And so what you want to do is kind of just be real gentle about the process, gently talk about them, engage with them, do things that are engaging for them and provide them good information, all that sort of stuff. And then you move to, okay, would you like to have a cup of coffee tomorrow? Okay, great. Okay, would you like to have dinner? Okay, would you like to meet my parents? All that stuff. And it leads to wonderful things. But the bottom line is there's a real parallel there. And,
yeah.
And the whole idea is about gently, slowly building trust over time. You don't walk into a bar and say, do you want to have sex right off the bat? Nor do you walk up to a client prospect and say, will you pay me $10,000 right now to go ahead and give you some advice on what you should be doing with your business? That doesn't work that way. And so you have to gently reel them in.
But this topic of sex is interesting to me.
No surprise there.
What you're seeing happening on things like Twitter and Facebook is that it's the corollary to asking 10,000 people if they want to have sex. At some point, someone's going to say yes, right? That's what you're seeing people do wrong on things like Twitter. Is that they are
all a numbers game,
right,
says Todd.
Exactly. So it's a great way to explain how people do things wrong on Twitter. Is that they're asking thousands and thousands of people to have sex.
Yeah.
Because someone is going to say yes, but that's not a great way to do business.
Yeah,
right.
Probably not a great way to conduct your life. But, you know, with so many tools, so many platforms available, for me at least, it can be a little overwhelming. I mean, you got your Twitter and your Facebook and your LinkedIn and MySpace, and I don't know what else is out there.
MySpace.
How do you get your arms around this, and are there some tools that lend themselves, you know, much better to the kind of the work that Todd and I do, you know, with small consulting firm and out playing around doing these interviews, and different tools that lend themselves to the retailer?
Yeah, there are different tools. A lot of it depends. That question comes up a lot. What tool should I focus on? And it's a little bit like insurance. When somebody says, how much insurance should I have? Well, it depends. And it depends on what your company is. Are you retail? Are you a consulting firm? Are you trying to sell something online? But the bottom line is this. If you go out and use social media as a way to engage people, what you're really trying to do, remember jumping back to that hub and spoke analogy. If you're the hub and the spokes are the different ways that people can engage with you, what you're trying to do is provide people as many different ways to talk to you as you can, given your bandwidth and the amount of hours you can put into a day on this. So if you have a narrow bandwidth and you don't have a lot of time, I'd focus on a blog and email and Twitter or something like that. Always start with LinkedIn and Facebook. You just want to have those profiles up there. But those are the kind of essential ones that you do. They're all interconnected and related. So as you keep building those spokes going around that hub, those things are all interconnected. So you might have something that tweets about something on your blog that references your Facebook page.
And
so it all relates to each other. But that's the bottom line there, is how to set it up gradually and slowly so that they build on each other.
I'd like to turn back to 60 Second Marketer for a moment as we wrap up this morning.
And yes,
yes, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You guys are too much. At any rate, 60 Second Marketer really is, there's content rich. There's a tremendous amount of solid information there, and I'm amazed at how you're able to put so much good stuff out there so frequently. And I think that's one of the challenges that some of our prospective clients initially face. Where am I going to come up with all this good stuff? Or they're worried about exhausting their expertise before anybody ever gets to the I'll meet your parents stage.
Yeah, right.
So how do you pull that off? I mean, are you really that brilliant?
No, I'm not. Here's what happens. And there's something called blogger burnout, which a lot of people go through. They start a blog and about a year into it, they're like, man, I am out of stuff to talk about. And I'm just tired of writing these things every single day. But you really have to provide a lot of content. If you think about a newspaper being delivered to your doorstep, if it only arrived every few days, then you'd start going, well, I don't know if I'm really going to read this thing because I'm not. Every morning what I want to do is wake up and see this newspaper there so I know I can read it. So that is the challenge. There's two ways to do it. One is to aggregate content. It's basically you go out and pull content from other resources. Hey, here's an article in the Wall Street Journal that's very interesting. If you want to read the entire article, click through here. Or if you want the 60-second snapshot of it, this is what it says. So you're really kind of borrowing content and always acknowledging the original source and providing a link to that original source in case people want to go there. The other way to do it is basically by doing something where you go out and you get other people to write content, and those people end up promoting the content on the site. So it's a great way to kind of build visibility for the site is to go to people and say, hey, can you do some, can you write an article for the site? And then those people go tell their friends about the article, and that'll drive traffic to the site as well.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, and it really does make for a very rich, resource-laden place for people to get information.
Yeah, cool.
And so it helps them, and it helps you. So, I mean, it's good for everybody, right?
Yep, absolutely. Works both ways.
So how can our listeners get to you, contact you, learn more about 60SecondMarketer.com?
Yeah, just go to 60SecondMarketer.com. If you want to do the blog, go to 60SecondMarketer.com/blog. Also, you can get our free e-newsletter that comes out every Friday, and in addition to that, you can also get the blog sent to your email. So you can either have it as an RSS feed, you can visit it whenever you want to, or you can go ahead and get an email sent to you whenever we post, which is probably about 4 or 5, maybe even 6 times a week that we'll post something on the blog.
And if you do those things, Jamie's not going to hammer you with autoresponder emails.
That is correct.
You're not going to ask for sex just yet, right?
Right. And again, that's a great parallel, again, is you really gently have to just kind of introduce things. And there's an art to selling by not selling. And the art of selling by not selling is basically going in and really just providing useful information to your prospect or your customer so that they ultimately come to you as opposed to you going to them. So that's the art that you're trying to do whenever you do anything like this, is kind of reel them in and have them come to you rather than you pushing them so much.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you on the show this morning, Jamie.
Anytime somebody calls me brilliant, I'm just going to be there. So you guys want to do that, I'll be there.
So now we've cracked the code for getting good, smart guests, right?
We have just figured it out. Yep.
Just got to lather them up a little bit. Well, listen, before we let you go, Jamie, we have a little tradition here on the High Velocity Radio Show. We like to ask each guest if they would to share a mistake that they've made at some point in their career, and really, more importantly, what they learned from it. Could we con you into doing that for us?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I have more mistakes than I'd like to own up to, and put together a presentation once called the career mistakes I've made and how to avoid those boneheaded mistakes. And it was basically about how to go in and understand that all of us make mistakes and that you can recover from them. My biggest mistake was probably not holding other people accountable, trying to make too many people too happy. And the bottom line is you got to do what's right, stick with it. If there are consequences, suffer from them, but basically go in and do what's right and not try to make too many people too happy, because in the end, what you have to do is what's right, and that'll serve you better in the long run than trying to accommodate everybody. And I wish I'd learned that earlier in my career. It would have helped a lot.
I'll bet. And you're really not doing them any favors if you're not holding them personally accountable, are you?
Absolutely. That's a very good point. You're really not helping them at all if you're trying to make everybody happy. It doesn't really solve anybody's problem. You really just have to go in and say, here's the way I see it, like it or not, this is what I'm calling it like I see it, and if you like that, great. If you don't, well, that's your problem.
Well said. Well, thanks again for being on the show. Can you hang out with us for a little while?
I would love to. I'm dying to hear what Donna has to say. I know it's going to be fascinating, and I love her topic, and so by all means, I'm here hanging on every breath, so looking forward to it.
Good. Well, we'll have Todd introduce our next guest here in just a moment then. Who do you got?
Well, next guest on the High Velocity Radio Show is Donna Lang. She, before launching Smart Tools Coaching in 2004, Donna enjoyed a 15-year career in sales as a top producer, providing internet-based services, career services, market research, research programs to Fortune 100 clients and small businesses and entrepreneurs. Welcome to the show, Donna.
It is so great to be here. Can everyone hear me okay?
We hear you great.
Kind of getting used to this microphone.
Yeah,
so
you have the good mic. So.
I've got the good mic. You know, I am so excited to be here. And when I look around and I hear the great sharing and the insights and the world that we're living in, we are moving fast. We've got choices. We've got choices on top of choices and opportunities and search engine optimization and social media and another decision to make within 2 seconds. And we're running really fast and we're fast and we want to be high velocity people and just hit the mark and be productive. And we're moving too fast.
Yeah, I think people need coaches, don't you think?
I think they need coaches. And I want to define what coaching is and what coaching is not.
Yeah, tell us about smart tools.
Smart tools started in 2004. And the beauty of that is there are a lot of coaches out there. Smart tools, the big differentiator is it's all about playing an inner game. When you slow down and you really can take a breath to set a clear intention, then you speed up with clarity. But when you're running around like, you know, roadrunners, like most of us are, and thank goodness for Starbucks to contribute to that velocity. Velocity in my world is when you slow down and you know that your inner thoughts create a very powerful result when you're in touch. Then you're really playing a big game because it starts with you. Most of us are outer directed. So let's look at some data, shall we? Let's look at the following and see if y'all can relate to this. Psychologists and social experts, not social media, but folks that are interested in the social being have said if you look at your thoughts, that 66% of our thoughts are negative. We've got over 60,000 thoughts bouncing around in our head every day. 33% of the people we meet, we're not going to like. Right? And so when you look at that and then you add another caveat on top of this reality, 80 to 90% of what drives us is unconscious. So when you think about the choices that we make, were they outer directed? What mom and dad thought, what's expected of someone who's 40 or older. You have your degree, so now what are you going to do? This reminds me of a really great story. I had two great friends in college, and they were twins. One was the straight guy, one was the funny guy. And I loved them, and we were always kicked out of the library because I'd laugh because they'd make me laugh. And there was the straight guy and the funny guy. And so years later, when I was about 27, I ran into them in New York City. And I said, "Hey, John, how you doing? We haven't been in touch." He said, "Well, you know, I'm a partner. I'm a lawyer. My brother and I own a condo in New York. Isn't that exciting?" And I said, "Fantastic. You've really hit the mark. You're doing what you want to do. You're really fully inspired." And he said, "No, really. I want to be a comedian. But I'm just doing this because it's what I'm expected to do." He was driven by expectations that were unconscious. And most of us are. And so we've got the kids and the family and the house and the doggies
and the mortgage and the title
and the, all the stuff, right? But sometimes when we're quiet and we take a pause, we can really hear what's important in our lives. So I specialize in helping people really understand the essence of who they are.
Well, that's great stuff. Stone and I, we brand ourselves as high velocity. It's all about speed. We'll see you in the fast lane. It's getting better results in less time. And I do worry sometimes that people think we are about pushing and rushing and all that. And the point you made about actually slowing down can speed you up is a great concept that I'd love to pick your brain a little bit more. People who Stone, in fact, I learned this from him reading his book. It's not just activity and just doing stuff that makes you successful. It's being productive with that time and actually accomplishing results.
Mm-hmm.
True. I'm asking this question for the benefit of our listeners because I know the answer because I'm a client of Donna's and have been for well over a year. But tell us a little bit about the Smart Tools coaching model. Can you walk our listeners through that a little bit?
Yeah, I use the statistics to kind of give you maybe a benchmark as to why so many of us are challenged to really feel good inside. We all look good. You know, we're nipping and tucking if we need to. we're doing what we need to do on the outside. But it doesn't always convert to feeling really good on the inside. And the inner game is where it starts. So my model, the Smart Tools model, includes the idea that the quality of your thoughts equals the quality of your life. And so what happened, I'll give an example of that. On the way here, I took the wrong turn, and I was freaking out, and I was thinking, I'm going to be late. And I said, okay, well, I'm a coach, so let me coach myself. That's another tool I use. I teach my clients, after they leave the coaching relationship, life practices that are custom designed for them, so then they can continue the ripple effect, like throwing a stone in the water, and they continue to grow and expand and become better than they ever were the day before and the day before that. And so I self-coach myself, and I set an intention. And I said, no matter what, I'm going to be cool and calm, collected, available, because I'm here to contribute. My job is to contribute concepts that may make a difference in your life. Maybe one listener is going to hear this and say, you know what? I do have a choice. I don't have to be frazzled and dazzled. You know, I'm 50 pounds overweight. I can still feel good about myself. I don't have a job, but I can still envision what it's going to be like when I create that next job opportunity. So it's all about setting an intention, and I set that intention. And when I got here, wasn't I cool, calm, and collected?
Yes, you sure were. We would have never known.
You would have never known. And so it's really managing your inner game. And, you know, another concept that I use in Smart Tools is to use laser coaching. See, that's where speeding up can also help you to become more productive. But that's also by slowing down. And so a lot of folks use their ego to justify why their life is not working. Our ego is our best friend because it motivates us. It drives us. But it can also get in our way. And the ego is just so smart. So when my clients are like, well, you know, this didn't happen because of that. And my mother did this and my dad did that and my boss was a jerk. And, you know, there's a lot of justification. It's letting the outside run you. But when you own the inside, then you're the true king, queen, and CEO of your life. And so that's really where laser coaching cuts through whatever we need to cut through, so we can pull up the nugget of who you really are and play to your strengths, which is really another huge component. Very passionate about that.
What do you do? How do you coach people to get rid of the monkey chatter that happens when you're stopped at the stoplight and you're thinking, I got to go get the groceries and I got to pick up the dry cleaning and all that sort of stuff? Are there any techniques that people can use to kind of clear that out?
I have worked with a number of mentors over the years, and I've got tons of techniques, and everyone is a little different. And so I use my intuition to really find out what works for you. There's meditation that you can do with your eyes open while you're at a stoplight, so you become focused on the here and the now, not the past, mm-hmm. not the future, not the coulda, woulda, shouldas. Mm-hmm. But you're right there, and out of that can grow some pretty intuitive choices, mm-hmm. things that you might not have thought about. The whole concept with my form of coaching is nobody needs to be fixed. Everyone has whatever they need that's inside of them, but we're so busy racing to hit the target, we sometimes don't quiet our mind, as you pointed out, the monkey chatter, mm-hmm. to really find out what's rich and what's really true for you inside of yourself. There's a quick technique that I can teach you right now, if you all might be interested.
Lay it on us.
Okay, so let's think of a problem. So think of something that's on your back, that it's a pain in the butt.
Todd!
Okay. You know, and so what we usually try to do is sort of maybe camouflage that or medicate it with that. I'm going to stop for a cup of coffee, or I'm going to go ahead and have a beer, or I'm going to have, you know, something that's like a candy bar. We do little things, or I'm going to write another thing or get diverted on Twitter for 5 hours. You know what I mean? We find a way to camouflage the problem. But when you do the ACT, what you're doing is you're putting your attention and awareness on the problem. You're actually giving yourself the gift of feeling pretty bad for a couple of seconds. So you don't feel good about Todd.
It's a common problem.
It's a common problem, okay. And so accept that. Own it, feel it, get depressed over it. Do whatever you want to do. Just own it for as long as you'd like. I wouldn't recommend doing it all day, but do it as long as you need to. And then take it into the second piece, which is to make another choice. Because you're not going to change him, but you can change your perspective about him. So make a choice. What if he has 10 things that you dislike? Choose to think about the one thing that you really admire about Todd. Can you think of one?
Well, he gets clients.
There you go.
That's why he's here.
Okay. And so choose to really think about that and How would you approach him with when you think that positive thought?
I think I'd just forget about the rest of it. It's just not that big a deal.
Okay. And how would that impact your action?
Well, I'm very positive, I think. I would probably just let the rest of it melt away and ask him what he thinks we ought to do next and get moving.
So what are the possibilities from that standpoint?
They're probably endless.
Uh-huh. And keep on going. Name one. One possibility.
Well, it probably motivates him even further. He feels like he's acknowledged. Great. Stone realizes the contribution that I'm making here, and so let's go get another client, come up with new ideas, and so it's probably all good.
Okay, so you're at that stoplight, and you're thinking ACT, accept whatever is bugging you, create a different choice. And that's where it's fun, because it's endless possibilities, right? Create a different choice, and then take action. So it's ACT. Mm-hmm. Think about that. How easy is that? Yeah. ACT. It's all about action. It's all about laser productivity, and it starts with slowing down.
Well, Donna, thank you. You may have saved High Velocity. You know, you mentioned the ego earlier. How much of that is a problem in someone recognizing that they need your kind of help? Thinking, I don't need any help. I know what I'm doing. I can get through this. Is that a problem you face?
Well, you know, the folks that I attract are folks that are ready. You know, and I always say I hand them the oar. So I'm the one who asks the open-ended questions. You know, I go into really making sure they appreciate, you know, what really needs to be done. And then I give them a recap of what we've explained and experienced in the coaching session. You know, when you slow down, you really have to take inventory. You really have to own who you are. There's no hiding out anymore. There's no pretending that you've got the CEO title, so you're cool. You know, there's so much underneath that that people discover, and that's where the power is. That's really where the power is. So folks that have that ego need to be right normally don't select a coach.
Well, that leads us to a question that I've been wanting to ask. I mean, it just as it turns out, I think that it was the perfect match. I think you were the perfect kind of coach for me to work with. But, you know, that's probably not the case for everyone. Mm-hmm. How do you go about selecting mm-hmm. the right coach?
Yeah, you know, and that's really a good point. When something is gnawing at you and you know something needs to be done, and coaching is not therapy, and I'll get into that in a moment, you know, the best thing to do is check around, ask friends, go to the internet, find some coaches and interview them, because we've all been well trained. You know, most of us are very motivated. I'm taking a course right now by Dr. Larkin called Growing the Positive Mind, and that's where your essence intersects with quantum physics. So I teach people more tools. Got lots of tools. Now I'm going to have more tools to teach people in a 20-week segment. So when they leave that course, they're going to be totally unstoppable. You know what happens? I'll give you an example of a downward spiral. This happened to all of us. You wake up in the morning, you stub your toe, you know, one of your kids might look at you the wrong way, the dog barks, and before you know it, the dog has a problem in the kitchen. Then you got to stop and deal with that. And then by the time you get into your car, your day didn't start off right. You got out of bed, you know, on the wrong side of the bed, right? And then as the day progresses, things just keep on happening. It's almost like you're a magnet for things not going well. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Picture that happening in your life, that downward spiral. Didn't get along with the boss, started a new job, that didn't work out, didn't, you know, so it's really important to look at how energy, because everything is energy, your thoughts are energy. So what if you were to go ahead and learn how to do the upward spiral? You know, where would you be 10 years down the road, if you had those tools that kept you on the up spiral, and you know that when you change your thought, you change the chemistry in your body, which means it's a nice way to not have to have plastic surgery, because you really look great when on the outside when you really work on your inner game.
See, I told you I'm pretty on the inside.
Yes, you are. You're handsome in your own way.
So what are some things to look for? What should we be thinking about if we're selecting a coach? And then I also want you to hit on this thing you mentioned a moment ago. Coaching is not therapy.
Right.
Say more about that.
Okay. Well, you know, I like to make a distinction between the why zone and the what zone. And therapy is great. I think everything has a purpose when it comes to growth. Therapy gives you an opportunity to look at why your life might not be working the way you would like. And that's incredible. You can really look at your past and look at certain psychological and emotional blocks. Coaching doesn't get involved in that. However, it's not therapy. Coaching is not therapy, but it can be extremely therapeutic. And so the what zone is what I love in coaching. What can I do to make things better? What steps can I take to make a difference in the lives of others? What's really important? What's at my core? Not why am I like this because I didn't get breastfed as a kid, right? So the why zone is important, but coaching is about taking inventory, understanding your essence, keeping the focus on setting intentions that will serve you, understanding that you're an energetic being and you can choose to be depressed just as easily as you can choose to be happy. So it really teaches you the beauty of choice, making the right kinds of choices. Again, starting from the inside out. Very, very different from therapy. Has anyone been in therapy here?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and coaching and a lot of the stuff you're talking about in terms of quantum physics and using that in order to define your outcome, things like that, is something that has helped me a lot. And I know that that's what you teach, and I think it's great. I just can't speak highly enough for using some of the techniques you're talking about in order to accomplish what you're talking about.
Well, I appreciate that support. I'd like to center around you for a moment.
Sure.
What?
Yeah, let's fix Jamie.
What? Hey, Jamie. What kind
of? No, but you said earlier we're. What was it? You said you don't have to be fixed, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
It's a very
releases
you from all that. Wow, expectations versus reality.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you've got everything inside of you.
Yeah.
And the coactive training model that was part of my training really emphasizes that you're whole and complete and naturally resourceful.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're quiet and we go within, wow.
Yeah.
That's very, very rich. Because then we can really hear and sense who we truly are. And it's not as compared to. It's not anything on the outside. It's just going within, and that's really your strength. No one can take that away from you.
Well, I agree. And one of the things I do, which you'd be familiar with, is meditation. Mm-hmm. So I meditate ideally twice a day. Typically, it doesn't happen twice a day. But it's that 25 minutes of quiet. And it does get rid of the monkey chatter. That's part of why I asked it before, mm-hmm. was because all of us have monkey chatter, and then you start doing some of the techniques you teach and that you talk about, and that monkey chatter goes away. And when there's no monkey chatter, you're like a laser beam. You can focus in on what's important, and you recognize what's not important, which is about everything, because there's really nothing more important than just kind of peace and acceptance and all the things that I'm sure you tell your clients pretty consistently.
And, you know, that's a good point because every client is so different.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that the clients have in common and the reason why they choose me is I'm very compassionate. I have a business background, and that's a really wonderful combination because most of my clients are high achievers who are solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, and sales and marketing professionals. So I understand the game. I understand that experience of the numbers and achievement and hitting the mark. I'm a businesswoman, so I do it in my own business. It's a little different, though, when you're in my shoes because I'm in the business and I'm also, you know, running the business. I'm kind of doing both right now. I think the important thing, though, is to work with folks that you feel safe with. So if you're choosing a coach, interview them. I've interviewed tons of coaches just to get a sense of how they process their relationships with their clients. And I have found that those with big hearts who really care are rare. And if you're looking for that, hire me, because that's one of my features. I really genuinely, genuinely care about my clients. And a lot of coaches want to look good. They want to tell you about how great they are. They want to tell you about all their great experiences. You know, a real coach wants to stretch you by handing the baton over to you. A coach will stretch you so you can inspire yourself. A coach will ask you powerful questions so you can discover what's true for you inside. It's all about you. The beauty of a true coaching relationship is she's not your mother, she's not your sister, your wife, your daughter. She is totally an advocate for your success. What a rare relationship that is. There's no agenda.
Mm-hmm.
If you succeed, she's happy for you. If you don't, she has done her part because she's handing over the processes for you to do. It's totally up to you. It empowers you. Your success is your success. It doesn't really fall on the coach. And a lot of folks say, oh, my coach was wonderful because she changed my life. No, you changed your life. And that's really where the power is.
And it really is. It's a tremendously powerful resource, and it's a relationship that you really are not willing to do without after not very long. Or at least that was my experience.
Yeah, talk a little more about your experience. I'd love to hear your perspective.
Yeah, we'll create a whole commercial about Stone and his coach. But, if our listeners knew about my raw skill base as opposed to and juxtaposed against what I've accomplished, I think they'd hire you in a heartbeat.
Good.
But, no, it's been a marvelous experience. I've got one last question before we wrap today's interview up, and I hope you'll come back. But I get the sense that maybe you don't have to do a great deal of marketing, but do you do any marketing? And if so, how do you go to market?
I have 90-day plans that I put together every 90 days because I think there's the group of folks that understand coaching. They're self-aware and they're ready to take the next leap, but they don't know that I exist. So I've got to get out there. I do talks. I'm on Twitter. I've optimized my website. I used to sell search engine optimization, so I know how to do that well. I'm on the first page of Google. Atlanta Life Coach. Just go to Google and you'll find me. And I use a number of tools just to kind of get the word out so people really start knowing that I'm there. But I've got my next level that I'm actually writing this week to do another 90-day plan to go a little bit deeper and to speak more. Just getting out there. I mean, my belief is when I set the intention and I get myself out there, that's where my essence meets energy. You know, it's almost like I really believe we live in an abundant universe, even though maybe the economy doesn't say that right now, but I believe there's still a lot of abundance. If you look at percentages, if we have 10% unemployment, we've got 90% folks who are employed. That's an abundant universe in my book. And so getting in front of the right audience is really what I'm doing these days, to talk, just to show up. And folks are going to say, I want more of that. I want to investigate that because I like that energy. And that's really the name of the game.
So education really is an important aspect of your whole marketing presence because not everyone really has a good handle on what coaching is or should be or could be for them. Right?
Exactly. And education and stories and talking about different topics about energy and communicating to win. And I have a number of topics that help people take a pause, which is really hard. Silence is hard, isn't it?
Yeah, particularly on radio.
Yeah.
My producer gets a little nervous over there,
That's right. Take a pause. And, but in the pause, in between the silence and the conversation is a lot of richness. So try it. Take a pause throughout the day.
You know, I had a friend teach me a conversation tactic, and it was when you're done talking or the person you're conversing with is done talking, wait a second before responding.
Mm-hmm.
It changes the whole dynamic of that conversation. I can't do it. I have a real hard. But you think a second, boy, nah, it's nothing. It's amazing how different that conversation unfolds when you discipline yourself to do that. And applying that to your whole life it really is an amazing approach.
Well, there's something along those lines that you can try tonight. Look at your significant other, and very slowly say, I love you. Count 5 seconds before you say anything else. It could change everything.
I think she'll check my temperature if I do that. We'll do that. Well, listen, we're about out of time, Donna. I sure hope you'll come back. I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. But before we let you go, a couple of things. One, what's the best way for folks to get in touch with you, learn more about your services and about coaching in general?
Yeah, what I would do is I would say if you have any questions about coaching, kind of curious at all, you can call 678-795-1410. That's 678-795-1410. Or go ahead and Google me, Atlanta Life Coach, or you can go to smarttoolscoaching.com.
What's your Twitter handle?
Donna Lang Coach.
Okay, so that's how we get to you. We've got your coordinates. Now, before we let you completely off the hook and close the show down for this morning, we'd like to put you on the hot seat as well. You heard us ask Jamie a little while ago to share a mistake that he had made at some point in his career. Could we get you to share a mistake you've made at some point in your career and what you learned from it?
A mistake?
We only have time for one.
Okay, well, I guess years ago, I've been kind of a seeker. I've been looking at the inner game for years and years and years, but this was a really great mistake because I didn't apply it. I was in a sales position reporting to a tank personality, and he was really, really difficult to deal with, demanding, irresponsible, unpredictable, and somehow he ended up in that role, and I reported to him. And it used to really get me kind of crazy, and before I would go into the office, I would anticipate his behavior to be negative. And looking back, and it was miserable. It was a struggle. And, you know, struggle is overrated, by the way. But it was a struggle being in that role, reporting to a tank. Looking back on it, here's my lesson, that I have everything I need inside to set my intention to be much stronger. So had I done then what I did this morning, I would have gone in the office cool, calm, collected, and productive rather than scared and uncomfortable and looking behind my shoulder, over my shoulder rather. And so it's really, once again, it's really managing for me at every opportunity throughout the day, at every opportunity, what outcome I want to expect. Today I set an intention and I set, you know, the fact that maybe I haven't done this as often as you guys have, but my intention was to have a very successful and fun and meaningful interaction. And then I let it go. So I set my intention at every point in time, and my life is so much happier. I feel so much more fulfilled. And I could listen to the silence. And as a result of that, speed up and be way more productive in high velocity status. Thank you.
You are more than welcome. So there you have it. Look inside. Trust what's there.
Yeah, exactly.
Craft your intention, and you ultimately will increase your ratio of results to time invested. Oh, it's been a lot of fun having you on the show, Donna. Thanks so much for joining us. Great show, huh, Todd?
Oh, another great day at the office. Yes, sir.
Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton, Todd Schnick, Donna Lang, Jamie Turner, our producer Lee Cantor, and the entire Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.